All right. Welcome to the Art of Channeling Collective. This is our ninth meeting and our final one of 2023. And I know for those of you who are in, infinite possibilities, you've heard this. I've been very reflective about the year. And as I was getting ready for this, I was thinking just about our group here and what's gone on this year. And then since so many people have been part of this, even leading up to, like from going back to the first time I taught the Art of Channeling class a couple years ago, 2, 3 years ago, maybe
Maybe two.
3 years ago, I think this February, I think is when it was. I think that's when it was. And, just all that's transpired and all that we've learned and how all the ways that we've grown, and it's been really fun, as as I reflect back on that. So today we just have a few people here, and that's obviously completely fine. I had a feeling when I was scheduling this and Infinite Possibilities this week, just to kind of sorry, I thought I had all my notifications off. Apparently, I didn't. Sorry, let me just actually turn everything off. So, all right, so now those should all be quiet. Sorry about that. What was I saying? Oh, about our plan for tonight. So I'm thinking, just off the top of my head, that maybe we'll just do something a little more informal today, since it's us, a smaller group, and I'll save what was planned till January, probably when more of us will be here together, and just kind of go with what feels like we want to do. And so I will obviously do a channeling from the High Council of Orion. We'll have some sharing. And then what I'm thinking, this is just off the top of my head, you can weigh in on it since we're such a small group here, is you guys could just 2, 4, 6. Yeah. So you could easily break up into 3 rooms of 2 or 2 rooms of 3. And or we could actually just do something that we've done before. I can't remember. It was earlier this year. I just don't remember exactly when, where I can channel the High Council of Orion, and you can just ask your general questions of the High Council of Orion, channeling or personal, whatever you'd like support with. So we can, like, let's be casual and fun with this since we have a small group today. Anyone have any thing they want to weigh in on with any of that?
That sounds good.
All of the above? Any of the above?
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think I could ask a question of the High Council of Orion. Sure, other people could come forward with
Yeah.
some stuff too.
Yeah, whatever feels most supportive. Obviously, our container is development as a channel, but we could just be casual about this and just open up the floor and you could ask whatever you want. A lot of the focus of today, in terms of what I was going to share and what the High Council of Orion, at least, sort of told me earlier when I was getting ready for the call, just about the energy of really choosing who you want to be in the coming year, which felt like a really fun topic that we could discuss a bit here now, but we could just wait till the beginning of, I mean, the beginning of the year when the first time we meet in January. But that was what we were gonna mostly talk about today. So how about for now, since I obviously no one, it doesn't sound like anyone has a strong opinion about anything. Why don't I just open up and share what their message is? And that's always a nice cohesive way to start our call. And then we'll just go into The sharing part of it, in terms of anything you'd like to celebrate or anything that's gone on for you recently, and then we'll see what ne what the next part wants to come through. Sound good? All right. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. Let's take that moment to not only listen with our ears and process with our minds, let's listen with our hearts and listen with our bodies. Feel ourselves opening up, in a sense, the ears, the hearing, the receiving from all the cells of your body. And through every aspect of your energetic field, because that really is how you hear. It really is how you listen. And as we move forward in time, not just in these coming days, but in the near future, and by near future, we're talking about the next 10 or 20 years, we will begin as we open up more to live in a more awakened field. A field that's more that we live in greater connection to our multidimensionality, we will understand a shortcoming, if you will, of the idea that we process through the five senses. As you awaken more, you will learn that you are the brain in your heart is processing, that your ears aren't your only hearing receptacles. Your eyes aren't the only way you see and perceive, and on and on. And so that you literally will be understanding that you are receiving and perceiving from every aspect of yourself, from the tip of your baby toe to the top of your head, through your energetic field. And even in that moment, which we'll practice in a moment, it changes what you perceive when you consciously are noticing, opening up to receiving literally through every cell of your body. Now, it's not literally through every cell of your body, but that takes your mind and your awareness down to very tiny particles, correct? And that gets you closer and closer to the energetics of who you are, which is always receiving and always transmitting. So it is a shift in perception that many will be starting to embody and experience soon, is what we would say. So let's bring those future things into our now with this awareness. And in the moments we can open up to that way of receiving. Now, many of you already have had experiences with this when you, for example, meet someone and you might instantly feel quite drawn to them, or you might meet somebody else and you feel that you need to take a step back from that person. They energetically don't feel comfortable to you, or you quote unquote have a bad feeling about them. And also the same thing in environments. You might go into a particular place, an office, a restaurant, a place of business, someone's house, and you could say that it feels like quote unquote good energy or bad energy or energy that's not in alignment with who you are. That's a very clear example of this sensory receiving through your energetic field, which is what an awakened being would do. If you talk about and aspire to becoming a 5D human, as many people talk about, or a whatever D human, as you allow yourself to embody and access those multidimensional frequencies, you will be perceiving far beyond the organs of perception that you've been trained to perceive through, and you've been trained that that's how you perceive it when you come into a human experience. So those are the predominant organs of it, but it doesn't mean that it's the only way that you perceive. So this is kind of an interesting way to begin our time together today. And let's talk about what this would look like or how it would apply and how you would train yourself, if you will, how you would practice being able to become an expert at this, we would say. And first and foremost, in any given situation you're in, you can, number one, remember to do that. Remember, maybe you're getting together with a friend and you just tell yourself, or even maybe share it with the right kind of friend. As we have this conversation, as we're sharing, let's open up to receiving through our energetic fields so that we can hear more of what's there. We can share more of what's within us. We can perceive more through our eyes, ears, all of the sensory organs, and play with it. And just notice, it could feel on any given day exactly like a conversation you would always have. And there are other times when you would say, there was just something extra there. I understood a little bit more. I didn't get confused, maybe in the way I would typically do. I could feel the meaning of what they were saying just that much more deeply. So it's fun to practice this with someone else if you wish. It's also something that's fun to practice just on your own. And especially, it could happen in your home, it could happen in your car, in your office, when you're out and about in the world, when you're sitting in nature, where your intention, your awareness and intention is that you will hear through, yes, your physical ears and also your energetic field and all your cells, as we are saying kiddingly, but you will be able to listen through the tip of your toe if you wish. And beyond that, you can, what am I hearing? What am I seeing? And notice as you actually open up to seeing beyond your physical eyes and seeing with your energetic field, you will actually eventually notice that there are far, far more colors and things that you can see, quote unquote, that you would say, I'm not really seeing it with my physical eyes, but I know it's there. And I know I'm perceiving it, even if I'm not seeing it in the way I traditionally see things with my physical eyes. And the same with the sound. I know I'm hearing this, but I know it's probably not as audible. So you will pick up on those frequencies that are above and below the standard range that human perception exists within. So that's fun, isn't it? So let's continue this transmission today and take a little bit of a turn and touch into what we were originally going to share. And we will begin to share some of it more as a time of reflection and a time of visioning, because one can do this at any point in the calendar year. One doesn't only need to do it at the end of one year and the beginning of another, or as right now, when you're at the right on the edge of one of the solstices of the in the northern hemisphere, the longest night, which gives you the greatest opportunity to go within and discover your light. But during this time of year, when a year is about to change, it does bring about a greater opportunity to reflect and not look at where you're not, but look at where you are with some pride, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of looking at your courageousness, a sense of looking at your love, at your tenacity, at your hope, at your joy, maybe even your endurance. Maybe in your way of showing up for yourself and your loved ones, there are many things that you have done absolutely right, and most of them you will take for granted. Most of you would say, well, of course I do that. I always do that. And what we're going to ask you to do at before the year turns is to really acknowledge and own and anchor all of those things about who you are, even the things that you could say, well, this is how I've always been. Of course I'm doing that. Of course I'm saying that. Of course I'm achieving that because this is who I am. Even if it's who you are and how you expect to be, it is appropriate for you to honor and we on honor and acknowledge and be grateful for who you are in that way. This creates this elevation, this platform elevation, we would say, for you to get a view. If you can imagine this platform literally elevating you, and if you elevated up, you'd have a view of the distance more clearly, wouldn't you? And so, what we would say is, how can you elevate yourself so that you really are honoring and acknowledging your gifts and all the qualities that you've brought to your life in this last year? And that elevates you to have a more empowered view of what your next year can be. If in these moments you say, well, I really set out to do this and it didn't happen, and then these other things came in during my year and they were unexpected, and then that really got in the way of everything. And then I really wanted to do something, clean out all the closets in my house, and I only did one, and I really wanted to change some things in my body, and I did a little bit, but nothing significant. Can you feel that that's not necessarily elevating you where you're focusing on those energies? So it is important to anchor in those energies, so of what is right about you, what is good about you, all of it, so that you then elevate yourself and carry that confidence, that sense of accomplishment into your next year and allow it to inform who you want to be in the coming year. Who you want to be in the coming year. It's okay. So this is, can you feel the difference in the energy that this isn't talking about New Year's resolutions? This isn't something that you're resolving to do, but what we're talking about is owning who you are and how you would like to bring that more to the forefront, so that you can feel that you're in choice about the experiences that you'd like to have in the coming year, which filtering it through the perspective of these are some of the experiences I'd like to have in the coming year feels energetically quite different than a resolution. How many of you could feel that difference in that energy of this is what I would like to be experiencing versus this is my New Year's resolution. So begin to just honor and acknowledge yourself and let it soak in more than anything else. You can write a list if you wish, but allow yourself to feel that you're anchoring it into your body and your energy field. So it's taking it just from a mind and academic experience into a lived experience in your body. So we'll wrap with that today and bring those two energies of listening and receiving and seeing and sensing through the entirety of your energetic field, plus honoring who you are to allow yourself to move into who you'd like to be and the experiences you'd like to have in the coming year. Be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. Anyone have anything they'd like to share or reflect on, Carol?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and because I'm often guilty of, even if I step out of my comfort zone, I tend to minimize whatever I do in terms of, oh, but I didn't do enough. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Instead of looking at the things that I did do, like my old t re trainer retired, and now I have a new one, and it's hard making different transitions from somebody that did more yoga to somebody that did Pilates, that does Pilates more. So the focus is different. And also reconnecting with members of the tribe through joining a seniors group, mainly because we were going to go on this trip, but also recognizing that was a big step for me because I sort of had a falling out with some of my relatives. So it's like going in another direction, getting a different opportunity to meet other people and connecting with some of the relatives that I didn't have as strong a relationship because they were quite a bit younger than me. So those were things that I felt really good about. After yesterday, like last night, when we were talking about expansion, looking at ways that we've expanded this year. And just also, like, even through the channeling, I'm just amazed at how much guidance I get, just, random stuff, random everyday things. And I'm so glad that I'm learning to listen more instead
Awesome.
of not listening.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, awesome. Sounds like you're really reflecting on all that and also anchoring in those good things.
Well, this is helping because now I know I don't have to quash my, that's what it felt like. It was going, shh, squeezing, pushing stuff down instead of saying, oh, but you did this. It's like this plant. One plant like got put in another pot and it's just going, like within 3 days, And the other one is going, oh, well, you cut my root and you did this. And, it's having its adjustment period.
Thank you for sharing all that. That's great. Who else would like to share? And it could be something about what was just shared, or it could be something just unrelated to what the High Council of Orion was talking about. Go ahead, Andrea.
Well, what I'm noticing is that I spent a lot of time doing things for our house and for Gina and trying to keep all the walls up and everything. You there?
Yes.
Okay. And I just didn't have any, I didn't really create any time for myself. And because of that, I'm injured and I really don't even know how that happened. But I'm trying to figure out what do I do now because I actually can't do any housework or any of the things that I was doing to keep the house going. I can't do it. So I'm trying to figure out how their message fits into this.
How the message of what you are not able to do right now fits into it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I guess I'm just sharing about what's going on here. I know that it's a huge learning curve for me, that I needed to learn not to do so much, and to allow others to do for themselves.
And what if your this is just it's a pause and not a permanent pause?
That would be good. It's almost like a forced rest because I didn't think I could, but I guess I'm going to have to now.
Yeah, I think how many of you can relate to that, where there are times when you feel like, I knew I should have slowed down, or I had some breadcrumbs thrown in front of me, and I felt like I couldn't, or I didn't want to, or whatever, and then we get slapped down a bit. I mean, for me personally, I know you're not explicitly asking this, so if you can tell me to jump off a bridge if you want. I know you wouldn't do that, but just that idea of really getting into that conversation of what do I need right now? And if you don't get to the house for a week, most likely the house is going to still be standing.
True, true.
And it's just you're out of your pattern, and that's uncomfortable, but maybe your energy needs to be put elsewhere right now, more towards you.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be.
Right. So I don't know about anyone else, but for excuse me, I have allergies here this winter, and sorry for itching my eyes. It's just allowing what is to be, because you're going to get back to life the way it was.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay.
Life will bounce back to what it was before.
Yay.
Well, and now, so if this is a little pause, if this is a little time out for you, how do you maximize it so that when you do get your body's not injured and you can get back to things that you actually feel refreshed?
Good point.
Because I think a lot of times when we get in these in-between spaces that we, I'll speak for myself, I tend to worry. And then I use that time off worrying. And then you get back to whatever it is that you were supposed to be doing. And you said, wow, if I'd known it was only going to be that long, if somebody told me like it's only going to be that long, then you could just kind of relax into it. And like, why didn't I just relax into it? I've
Yeah.
had that experience. I don't know about others. Have you?
Now I can get that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's see it. So on a positive note, I could watch some movies. I've been wishing to watch movies, but I had the time to do that. So hey, I think I have some time now.
Yeah, and while you're watching the movies, massage your feet with some oil or something to, give yourself a little foot rub at the same time, or something nurturing and nourishing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I don't know why that image of massaging feet came into my head, but I had said that. All right. Well,
Thank
thanks.
you.
Wishing you all the best with that, and wish you a speedy healing there, Andrea.
Thank you.
Alicia,
Hello.
hello. Aloha.
Aloha. Andrea, it's so interesting. I just want to share a quick message for everyone and then a short story. One of the cards that I drew for myself today, the message is, you owe yourself the love you give so freely to others. So, Andrea, I just really want to share that with you, and I just hope you open your heart to that and just, yeah, massage use the oils to massage your rib cage and do what you need to do to take care of you and just rest. So 2 years ago, I kept saying that, I kept thinking in my head, I don't want to go to Tennessee to visit my husband's in-laws. And I kept saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I didn't want to tell my husband I didn't want to go. So I tripped over my cat and broke my toe and didn't go. So fast forward to this year, I actually could articulate, I don't want to go to Tennessee to visit your parents because I need time for me to open up to motherhood and to bring in our adoptive baby, who's hopefully coming next month. And it was not the easiest conversation, but I did it and it didn't break anything. I'm taking a mini vacation and I just wanted to share that again, Andrea. Just the universe will do what you ask it to do. So, whether you're aware of it or not, just enjoy this time. And yeah, when I broke my toe, I did. I just sat on my butt and watched movies, like the cheesy Christmas movies, like that movie after movie after movie. And it felt so good. And I felt so refreshed. And when Eric came home, he was very mad at me. And, but I didn't take it personally. I knew he was upset, but we talked it over and we worked through it and it was better. Because I was better because I was rested. I had the energy. I had so much more energy to be like, oh, you're being that way because that's all you, not me. I'm rested. I feel great, but I see where you're at. So, okay, I'll meet you where you're at. It was so much better. I just want to encourage you to keep just resting, watch the movies, do what you need to do for you. And then finally, Holly, I have a question for High Council Orion.
Why
Every
don't you
time,
wait? Why don't you wait till we get to that section?
okay, I just didn't want to take, I mean, all right.
No, as soon as I start channeling them again, you can ask.
Oh, okay, great.
And I am not going to let that go by. Congratulations if you're getting a little baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's so
Thank you.
exciting.
Yeah, I'm opening up my heart more and more to that. That's the work that I'm doing right now.
Nice.
Thank you. Today's affirmation was I opened my heart to the rhythm of love, and it made me cry when I said that. So, still a really big work in progress. But thank
Yeah.
you.
Well, congratulations on all of that. Thanks for sharing. Shala, you're up.
Yeah, just in response to what you were saying about the heart, Alicia, I feel like that's kind of in the field right now is some big work around the heart. So I'm right there with you on that. And I was just thinking about Andrea too, what's going on for you, and just wanted to put out in this space, the possibility that it's not even so much about when you heal, you can resume your life as it was, so much as maybe it's an opportunity to hit a big pause button. And then when you move forward again and come out of this, be in a different way, you know? Maybe not be the one who's carrying the whole load all the time, but it's sometimes it takes a big pause for us to make a new start. So I hope that if that's what's in the field for you, that you create that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Go ahead, Andrea.
So I think Shala really hit the nail on the head, so to speak. This feels like a new direction. And I mean, literally just grabbing me and going, look that way, you know. Don't just keep going where you're going. And yeah, so I feel like I need to dramatically change my course and move into what I need, more so than what others need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that clarity that you have around that.
I asked a question this morning about my injury, and immediately, without any pause, it was for your freedom.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. Pretty clear. So, anyway, I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we're all holding the space and our hearts for you to ha use this time to, like you said, reorient in a way that you can, hear yourself. Because so often when we're supporting others, we don't all, it takes a minute. We're not often listening to ourselves. And so I think you have an opportunity to do that now. Trim your sails in a new direction. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. All right. So let's make a choice now. Well, I guess we'll just be democratic and vote on it. Would you like? I can channel the High Council of Orion, like I said a minute ago to Alicia, and you can ask questions. We have enough time. We can either also, we have so many choices tonight. We can also just do this as long as we want. We don't have to be here for the full time, and that's absolutely fine as well. But we can spend some time with you guys, gals. Talking to the High Council of Orion and asking some questions. And if you want, then at the end of that, if you want to break up into the rooms and do a little channeling with each other, you could do that as well. So, how many of you would like to do some more channeling where you can ask questions of the High Council of Orion right now? Okay, that's unanimous. Okay, so let's do that now. All right. Candace, would you mind calling on people, please? Thank you. Oh, let's see. I don't know if I need to make you the co-host, but I just did.
Okay, I don't think you really need to either, but I'm happy to be.
Well,
It
also, if my eyes are closed, then if somebody comes in late, they
doesn't
probably
make a
would.
difference. Oh, yeah. Okay,
You
that's
could
good.
let them in. Okay. Thank you.
Shala has. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
We're ready.
Okay, thank you. So thank you for being here and for doing this with us today. And our first question for today, for the High Council of Orion is Shala. So you can go
I
ahead.
think Alicia. I think Alicia was in the queue before me. I don't know how to lower my hand. I'll figure it out.
Oh,
Don't
do
know,
you not want to
Alicia.
have your hand raised, Shala?
No, I do. I do have a question, but I think Alicia was before me, so that's fine.
Okay.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. I can wait. It's good. You go ahead.
Maybe my hand will lower after I ask.
If you go to reactions,
Yeah,
oh, I can ask
I
you.
lowered it. It's
Oh, you
down.
did.
Oh,
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah. I probably could have done that too. Okay.
Okay. So my question is, when I channel, I feel energies come in through my head. And even today, when I was connecting, I really intentionally put my feet on the ground and sat with my back straight, put some pillows behind me because I'm not that tall. And usually I don't sit with my feet on the ground. I'm like, I'm going to try that and this will help. But it's didn't make any difference. I just feel like a really, it's kind of a dizziness. It's definitely an altered sensation in my head. And I'm not sure if that's good or bad, or if there's a way that I can feel a bit less spacey.
Is this
or
during
maybe that's
the channeling
just
or after?
Yeah.
Or after the channel?
Usually daring, and it'll continue a little bit afterwards, but subside shortly after, usually.
So we'll guide you with a few questions here. Well, first of all, we'll tell you whomever you're channeling in that moment, if the energy feels stronger than you'd like, in that you feel a disorientation or, as you say, a spaciness or a dizziness or anything, you always can remember that you can speak with whomever you're channeling and say, tone it down a bit, please. Ask for it to be modulated. Ask for it to be regulated. You could say, this is too much for my physical body, or the dizziness or the discomfort is distracting to me. So it's perfectly fine to ask, and appropriate to ask, if it's uncomfortable or disorienting in any way. Then the question then that which we chuckle a little bit about with it is, you do still actually enjoy that sensation to a degree, don't you? You really wouldn't want it to completely go away.
Totally true, because it's an affirmation for me. It's like the affirmation that I am actually connecting with something outside of myself.
Correct. So it's a good tell, if you will, that yes, something's happening here. I'm not just making things up. I'm not just sitting here in my fantasy land. I know, because I have this sensation. That's my confirmation that I'm actually channeling. So the other part of this, because that's the part we chuckled about, is like, because you don't really want it to go away. So the key is, it's like the volume, you'd like it turned down on it also. But the other piece of it, if you wanted to have fun with it, if you were channeling on your own, is you can ask that your source, if you want, why do you make it so strong in my physical body? Why is it that way? And see if you can understand why, if you're curious about it. It might have been, is what we would say, is in the beginning, it's like, we're going to just say volume could go from 0 to 10. In the beginning, you were perceiving when it was at an 8 or a 9. We would say now you have developed yourself enough that that volume, if you will, can be at a 4 or 5 and still feel like, whoa, that's a lot. Because you have increased your sensitivity. So you can ask them to just turn down the volume again, but it's literally, you've increased your sensitivity. So what was, it used to take more energy for you to perceive it than it does now. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So play with that.
Okay.
And see. But we would say to you, it's not a question of whether your feet are on the ground or not.
Okay.
You can try to put yourself on the ground if you wish, but we would tell you that you're still going to have those sensations with, it's not a grounded, ungrounded experience you're having.
Okay. And is that kind of common, that the sensation to be in the head for most people?
Well, very often, although not always, the stream of energy, information, consciousness does flow down your own energetic central channel. Yes.
Okay.
And usually it is doing that. Sometimes it's perceived as coming from other directions, but it is still flowing in that way.
Okay.
And that's not 100%, but that is often the way it is. Yes.
Right. And is that an affirmation if it's coming from your crown down that it's from a higher source rather than, I mean, I think I would know a malevolent source. They don't really come to visit me. They stay away from me, but I'm just curious.
More than the directional flow is your gut level, your, does this feel right? Does it not feel right? If it was quote unquote malevolent, you would know, and you would have to trust yourself in that feeling, whether it's that you feel scared, whether you feel just on edge, worried, concerned. And if there's ever that there, you just anchor into your divine authority and command that it must leave. But you don't have a problem with that right now. But the directional piece of it is not indicative of whether or not the quality, if you will, of the channel.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome. Was that everything?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alicia.
Okay. Just even being in the space of the High Council, I feel a little lightheaded and woozy, but in a good way.
Drink your water.
I just ran out, but I will. So I've made myself an official animal communicator, and I attribute the course, the business accelerator course, and the work through the channeling and through the group with the channeling with our pod family. And I'm just so grateful for it. The animals that are coming to me right now are ready to cross over, and their owners are in between. They want to keep them and they don't. And the animals that I've connected with have all told me that they didn't want to be euthanized. And so when I tell this to the people, they hear it. And then a few days later, I hear that they've euthanized their animal. So I'm curious, why are they coming to me now? Why are these certain animals coming to me this way? And when will I get animals that are still alive and thriving? I'm just kind of curious why this seems to be the general. Why am I attracting the animals who are getting ready to transition? I guess that's what I want to know.
So the response to this will be simpler than you could imagine, is that many more people will seek out animal communication in times of trouble, in times of distress. Part of it, as you grow and expand your practice, as you grow and expand how you're sharing and communicating, the value of having a high level communicative relationship with your pet to enhance while they're alive, it does make sense that more people are reaching out to you in a transition point of one sort or another. And but what we would say is this is more early stage, and the further along you get, you will have more people, but it will be based on your communicating the value of deepening the relationship with the pet while they're in the prime of their life, which is not the time that the owners typically would be reaching out for help because everything is fine. Correct? Everything's
fine. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
We're in a good flow. I don't have an animal who is now acting crazy and it's problematic. They have problematic behaviors or responses. So you will have always a predominance of times people reach out when there's trouble, when there's an intersectional place. But this is true of everyone. correct? People tend to seek out energetic healers or readers, oftentimes because they have a sticky moment in their life. Most of the time, if everything's going well in human lives, people aren't reaching out because they don't have questions, because everything's great. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yes.
Right.
Thank you.
And we have to address the energy of euthanizing or not, because that is a sticky energy for you right now, correct?
Yes.
And we're going to share with you that very often the pet, when they say they don't want to be euthanized, doesn't understand what that means. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
They don't understand that it could potentially be a supportive measure for them to suffer less time. It's like saying a big, complicated, encyclopedic word to a 9-month-old. We're not diminishing the intelligence of animals at all, but they in their natural world and natural state don't have euthanization as part of it. So there's no energetic frame of reference for it, or even academic frame of reference for it. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
So one said euthanization is a choice, they would say, I don't want that. They don't know what it is, so they don't want it.
And I don't ask them if they know what it is. I just assume that they do because they're so intelligent. I just assume they know, but that makes sense to me now.
It would be something that you could play with the idea of, because you see, the unique things about pets who are being, or animals who are being taken care of by humans, they don't always have the freedom to do what they would naturally do if they knew they were at the end of their life. Where they might go off quietly to become food for another animal, or they might go off quietly to die under a bush. They remove themselves to transition, correct?
Yes.
That's very often true in the animal world, where they let themselves be food, or they quietly pass. But when they're in the care of humans, they're not free to do that. Are they?
No.
So being able to just open up the awareness around that is something that you can play with. Because they don't have the freedom to behave from their natural place. And some domesticated animals can't anyway. They don't have access to that part of their lineage, if you will. But if they can't go take care of themselves and they're in a decline, them understanding a different, the choice of euthanization, of what it means for them, so it's explained, could be helpful. Because, and the reason this is being shared with you is because if you share with them your pet does not want to be euthanized, and then some number of days later you hear that that's what happened, how do you feel about that?
I feel like I gave the wrong information, and it confuses me sometimes. I want to make sure that I'm being accurate, and I will take it personally. But that's, I didn't give the right information.
Well, it's not necessarily that the right information wasn't given, but can you see how helping your clarity that that you know the animal understands the full extent of what that means.
Yes.
It allows you to feel more empowered in the situation.
Yes.
It also keeps you from feeling upset with the owners who didn't respect what their animal wished. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
How does it feel to you?
It's settling in my heart pretty good. It's just that it was the same week and it was four different animals. And I was like, what's going on? So I just didn't understand, but this is very, very helpful. And as I'm opening my heart more, it's helping me to understand much, much better and helping me build confidence and courage as an animal communicator and animal medical intuitive. So it's very helpful.
Good.
So I'm grateful for
euthanization isn't a bad thing when someone is suffering and can't do what they would do in nature.
Yeah, that's true.
It can be very humane and very kind to when that trajectory is very clear about there's no hope anymore that health will be restored, that it's a beautiful consequence to allow those souls to not have to suffer any longer, and when it's done in love.
Yeah, it's done in love with great compassion. This does make sense to me. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. It will ease your heart around these conversations and also allow you to stay with it and not want to put the brakes on. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it really, really does. And I can feel my heart expanding even more and surrendering even more judgment. Oh, that feels really good. Hooray! Victory! Thank you.
You're welcome.
Andrea. Right, Andrea.
Okay, I'm going to continue this conversation because at one point I had two cats and one was failing, and we had somebody come to the house and give a relaxation injection. And with the relaxation injection, he went. He just left. And the other cat was, I think, sitting near him or next to him. And so when he got ill, he asked me specifically not to euthanize him, but he wanted to go on his own. And I sat with him for as long as I could bear it. And he just really didn't pass until the next day. But I always felt like maybe I had done the wrong thing. So I guess I'm asking if I did the wrong thing.
To wait until the following day when he transitioned on his own.
Yeah.
And so your question is whether or not it was the right thing?
Yeah.
So we're going to we will share the perspective that is understood on this side, yet we're going to ask you honestly, because your heart knows already. Was it the right thing?
For him, possibly not for me.
What was that?
I said for him, it was the right choice, but possibly for myself.
Correct. That's exactly.
Because I suffered for him.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up, because this is exactly what we were going to share with you. Part of what your question is about is, I honored what I believed his request was, and I wasn't comfortable with it. So you've been questioning yourself about what was right or wrong from your own perspective, to be able to say, whoa, following through on that request was really difficult for me, and it's not something I would want to do.
Yeah.
Because my heart hurt watching what he went through.
Yes.
How does that sit with you?
It's that is true how I felt that way. And but yet I still think it was the right thing for him.
Right.
To be able to expand out of his body the way he did.
And so these things can coexist at the same time. It can be true that you heard the request and you honored it. And so there was a great honoring of him. And it's also true at the same time, and they seem like they're competing, that you hated the experience of it.
Yeah.
And you hated it for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
Not just because he was suffering, but because of how you felt needing to be in the presence of suffering.
Yeah.
It was a lot. You could almost say it was too much.
Yes.
And so we want you to understand that both of those things, you honoring that request, you expected to feel good about it because you honored his request.
Yes.
So that's where the rub is for you is, but I honored his request. Why don't I feel good about it?
True.
Because existing in that same space is your experience. You see, this goes back to the question that came up earlier about whether or not you want to continue to overserve. You see, in that experience, what you were left with was, I didn't take care of myself in that experience also. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
And there's no blame. There's no judgment. But it's okay if you said, I understand what he wants, and I'm going to open up to what's right for me as well, because he would have wanted that for me as well.
True.
So it's about, so the discomfort that you've been left with is more of the discomfort of, I expected I'd feel good because I was honoring him and I didn't.
Yes.
So now it's a time, if you wish, to just is honor and acknowledge and express or feel how excruciating that experience was for you. And being able to be there and love yourself the way you were there loving him.
Yes.
Not to hang on to it, but
yeah.
To acknowledge.
Yeah.
To acknowledge.
Yeah. And it, allow myself to let it go.
And how would it have been if you knew he was transitioning and you said, I need to take care of myself here. This is maybe too much for me to do.
Okay. When I look back at it, I don't believe that I knew he was transitioning, but I called a friend that was sensitive. And as I talked to her on the telephone, she saw him pull out of his body and was able to tell me about it. And she was talking about how huge his presence was. And so there was some comfort for myself that I reached out to somebody.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So it wasn't about the rightness or the wrongness of your decision. It was about including all of the awareness in the same space at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good observation. True. Thank you.
How does that feel to you?
That feels right. I had separated all the pieces, but they actually all happened all in a way, all at the same time.
Well, when we're in polarity and our perception is polarity, we like to make things polarized. It's good or it's bad. It's honoring or it's dishonoring. And very often we need to open up that things that don't seem like they can coexist actually can coexist. Those two realities were true at the exact same time.
Very interesting.
So it's not I did it right or I did it wrong. It's just part of that was really comfortable and part of it was really uncomfortable. And it's an and. It's an and.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a really good insight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to be like you, High Council Orion, when I grow up.
That's Holly laughing, by the way.
Thank you. Shala, you re-raised your hand.
Yeah, I just appreciate the courage being brought to the conversation because it's not an easy one and it definitely isn't a one size fits all. It's and I just wanted to throw in the pot to and acknowledge that I have judgment myself around euthanization, and I think that's mostly because what I've seen is that most people euthanize because they are suffering, because they're not able to be present with the loved one. So, yeah, it's a slippery slope, and yeah, there isn't just one, you know, one answer for every situation there. But I just appreciate the courage and honesty that everyone is bringing to the conversation because it's important. I feel like it's something that is done rather quickly. A lot of people just presume, oh, they're getting old, so we're going to euthanize. I mean, it's done. Oh, yeah, but, you know, one of our dogs is getting old, and the other one was fine, but they were right behind her, so we just euthanized them both at the same time without a lot of really, I don't know. It's done rather quickly and easily often, and I feel like the harder path is to just really stay present with the animal and honor their process. Don't do that. You know, I recently was with an animal that her passing to me looked absolutely horrific, but she was well out of her body. You know, the last day of her process, she was so far out of her body that looked horrific, you know, releasing of the body back to the ground. So thank you everybody for having the courage to talk about all that.
And part of this conversation also begets this, as you said, this idea that there isn't just one answer. There isn't one solution. And there are many solutions that are available. And this is where, in general, trust in the souls in any given experience, those souls are having exactly the experience they're supposed to have. Whether it's somebody sitting with an animal who's in distress and transitioning and being able to sit and be there with them, or whether it's we know they're so unwell, there's nowhere to go, and these next number of days or weeks or months are going to be so uncomfortable for them. We want to support their transition now, or whether it's, well, they're probably going to be on their way out. We have to trust that combined experience of those souls.
Yeah.
And it is a hard place to stay neutral in. And trust that that's their, that is their collective experience that they are sharing.
Sometimes animals too don't know how to leave their body. A friend of mine is a really well-known animal communicator, and she had to call on another animal to show a dog that she was communicating with how to leave its body. And so I think that's true too. You know, they've been around humans long enough that they're like, they don't know how to do that.
Correct. Because the domesticated animals, as was said before, don't have the same instinct to just go away.
Yeah, right.
And then the humans are left wondering, did somebody take them? Are they on the side of the road somewhere? Did another animal come and use them for food? The owners are left with question marks, but that instinct to do that isn't there for all of them.
Right. The potential to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To support their transition that way. The animal, you see, one of the things that happens is that humans project humanity onto their pets, and their pets are domesticated, but they're not human.
Right. Yeah.
And so their operating system, even as beautiful, expanded healers and familiars and everything that these domesticated animals are, they operate differently than humanity.
Yeah.
It's complicated, and that's why the ultimate solution is those involved in any given interaction get to choose, and hopefully the choice is made from the heart.
Right.
Out of love, no
yeah.
matter what that decision is, no matter what it looks like, that it's made from love is the best wish that could be extended.
Absolutely. And that's kind of sometimes what I see is the heart of the human is breaking and they just want to get the process over with. You know, so yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. We've never had this conversation before, have we?
I see.
Well, I have a question. This is Candace. I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to have this be here today. I had a conversation yesterday that threw me off so deep that I was like, even to this point, I just got to this point that I haven't felt in so long of just like giving up and no motivation to live. So it's actually interesting we're talking about this. Not that I was like, well, it just, and so I'm kind of just like, what happened in that conversation? Why did that hurt so bad? How did I lose my inspiration, my power? And I can specifically share what it was, but my question is like, how did that happen and what happened? And also, like, how do I get out of this and back into my excitement again? But what happened was I was sharing with my mom and my dad these houses that I was excited about in Key Largo to potentially move to, and they just felt so right. And I went into the Akashic Records of the one that I really liked, the Galactic Akashic Records of it, and I literally spent like hours, maybe like a whole day or a few days, like with it and talking to it and asking and going through the photos and really seeing if it could work and like going through the numbers and reading the rules. Like I just went so deep with it, and like it was such a huge thing and it represented so much about what I want to create and where I'm going. And it was motivating me to take actions where I am in a way that I haven't been able to until now. And then after that conversation where my mom was like, just a way that she tends to be is, and it was even like in the conversation, they even said, my mom, my dad's like, your dad is the one who always likes every house and mom criticizes everyone. She's like, so it's good. So I kind of got a warning that it was coming, but I didn't get it. I should have stopped it right there. But I just got so hurt when she started criticizing my choices and the things that were exciting me to the point that, and I think it was an energetic sort of something that happened, but I was just so hurt by it that I started like crying afterwards until our call last night. And it was just really, really bad. And she called today and she said, so this is very personal stuff I'm sharing with all of you. Your dad and I were thinking like, maybe we should buy you a house and you can rent it from us. So you can be like a bigger house and it would be an investment for us. And it just did not excite me at all. I was just like, okay, you know, just like the idea of it. And it's a beautiful offer and all that, but I don't know. I just like, I'm feeling so much better after the conversation. It's all being here together today. I'm feeling like my light is coming back to me, but I was really like dead after all of that. So I guess, I don't know what, there's probably a lot to share, but the main thing is what happened and how did that happen? And how do I like rectify it so it doesn't happen again and, you know, shift myself. Yeah. Mostly the first two. Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, the short answer is, as you shared, you had an expectation of what you wanted their response to be. And you were so excited, you hadn't taken a moment in your excitement to say, what if I get pushback? Mm-hmm. How will I deal with that? And correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it for you, and this may sound very, very basic, is as soon as there was negativity, it's like you allowed it to come completely in and take over the space of your excitement.
Yeah, I did.
And your excitement is still there. It's even evidenced as you're explaining it. It hasn't completely gone away. The question is, how do you rebalance it? So what we would suggest to you is something that could be quite simple, but we know it will be effective for you, is take yourself back to that moment yesterday in your mind and imagine your excitement, because in order for you to have that conversation with your parents, you prepped for it, didn't you? You got all your ducks in a row. You had your reasons and the logic behind it, correct?
Yeah, in the conversation, I wasn't expecting to really necessarily talk about all that. Well, maybe a little bit, but it wasn't like I called for that reason. I called because to see how my mom was doing because she had COVID, but then it turned into all of that.
So part of it for you is go back to that conversation in your head and redo the conversation. Even with them saying the exact same things, but what is the energy that you would have liked to have left that conversation with for you? This isn't how they would be or behave. We're going to say they're going to be and behave in your imaginary conversation exactly the same way. But what would you do to maintain the crest of the wave that you are on, the excitement, the alignment with knowing it's the right thing for you?
Well, I guess that is, maybe I'm like questioning it now. So I guess it go back into the conversation and I would leave feeling like I heard their points of view and what, like really what she said was very smart. there was legitimacy to everything she said. It was just, I let it shut me down to the point that it didn't need to. So I guess I say, okay, well, that's very interesting. It's good to consider and be aware of. I'm going to take that into consideration. I feel like this exactly. is, you've shared this with me, this kind of conversation before, but yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm thank you for that. It's so helpful that you're sharing your wisdom with me. I'm gonna add that to my consideration around it. You're not saying I have to buy it completely, but I'll take it under consideration. And the parts of the conversation that you feel like you want to throw out, you can just say thank you for sharing. But the fact that anything was said doesn't mean that it needs to be completely taken in, but you do appreciate your parents' point of view also.
I do.
So allow that conversation to rewind in your head so you stay in your place of empowerment and excitement and also honoring them. Thank you. I hadn't ever considered that before. I know you've had so much experience in this area. I will consider how that looks with what I'm considering now. Because yes. Part of it we would share with you is an older energy of you from when you were quite young, that what the parents said changed the course of your life, whether it's 5 years old and you don't want to go to bed, but they tell you you're going to bed now, or you can't go out with your friends in middle school.
Right.
Where what the parents said changed the course of your life. You as an adult feel that I'm an adult and it doesn't have to change the course of my life. But again, this goes into the and versus the either or. Okay. Because your reaction was either or, but it could be an and energy where I'm really excited and they have something valuable to share with me. And it may or may not change what I do with a house, but I can consider it and see if it does. So that they can coexist, but you're not 5 or you're not 12 anymore, where what they say changes the course of your desires. Can you feel that?
Yeah. So I can like imagine being a young kid and it's like, you have to go to bed. It's like, I appreciate your point of view. However, for today, I'm willing to accept that I'm going to be tired tomorrow because this is important to me.
Right. And when you're a young child, that lot, your parents would chuckle at that and they'd still say, no, you're still going to bed.
Probably.
But now, with where you are at this point in their life, in your life, part of it is the idea that what they say does not need to change the course of your actions. Although maybe it does. Maybe you sit with it and you say, wow, how lovely that they are thinking about purchasing a house and I can rent it from them and it could be an even nicer place. What's their positive motivation behind it? It's like creating spaciousness instead of the either or. It's not to say that you have to do that. Maybe you say, no, this is what I know I can do on my own and I'm really happy doing it on my own. And, you know, it doesn't need to be an investment property for you. But it's like being in that place where we are hesitating saying this, but we will say this, where you see yourself as an adult in the relationship. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Well, can you?
Yeah, I just give them a lot of power or control over me.
Well, you have a lot of regard for them also. Positive regard. Correct?
Yeah, and I feel like we have different approaches to life in a lot of ways too. So correct. I appreciate their approach, but then I have a different approach that I'm still developing.
Correct.
And so it's also having trust in myself to be able to create in a way that I've never met anyone who's creating the way I'm creating. So it's like, it's a little bit scary, but it requires a lot of trust in myself and willingness to maybe fail, but like, and then their way of doing it is maybe different. So it's like, oh, well, can they both coexist? I guess that's the question then.
Right. But also, can you, if you rework that conversation and you say to them, you know, I appreciate your input. And even if you get to the place of saying, you know, I really am trusting myself that this, I know this is the right decision. And that expressly being stated can be very supportive of you in particular, where you're saying out loud to your parents, I trust myself in this decision that I'm making. How often have you said that to them?
Well, I don't know if I fully do trust myself in it. So,
but trust yourself enough to have been excited about it.
Yeah, because I was listening and I was hearing, this is for you. This is for you. It's here for you. It's not going anywhere. Just take your time with it. Like, yeah, I was trusting myself, but it's such like a precarious trust, I guess.
Well, whenever anyone is pushing to the next level or through the current boundary, whatever that might be, there always is not just the trust, there's always the leap of faith. Because trust, when you're at an intersectional place, which is what you're talking about, correct? To move and be in a different location, all of that, that's an intersectional place. Trust is one of those energies, but also willingness to take the leap of faith.
Yeah.
And then being able to, if and when you feel ready, to actually say that to your parents, if that's what you choose to do. But more than anything else, notice that you have the ability to reclaim your excitement, reclaim the energy of that, and also feel that there's value in what they have to share because of their life experience and their wisdom and their points of view. And it doesn't mean that if they're not jumping for joy over your idea, it doesn't mean that their idea has to quote unquote win. They can coexist. They can mingle in the same space together.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Can you feel that difference in your body?
Yeah, I can get a sense of what that is. I don't know if I fully have mastered that. Obviously, we're just talking about it, but I can get a sense of like, oh, that's what that feels like to be able to do that.
And then entertain all the options. Entertain your original option.
Mm-hmm.
Entertain their original option, and there's overlap there, and entertain the option that came forward today in the additional phone call. Sit with all of it,
right,
and feel where the energy wants to move with that.
Yeah, I guess it's really helpful because even if I chose the third one, I can do it from a different space. I can do it from a space of like not giving myself over because it's not mine. So.
Well, and that's a pivotal question. Is it important for you that it's yours?
I don't know yet.
Right. No, it's something to sit with.
Yeah.
It's like laying them all out and entertain all of them individually and how they could commingle in particular ways where it feels great for you.
Yeah, I think the imagining going to bed thing is really helpful because it's true. I'm still there. Like if they say this, it's like automatically, oh, that's how it's going to be. Now I'm going to have to suffer. It's like, no, it's not necessarily true. Thank you.
What you know is you have a great deal of love and support from your parents.
I do, even if there's moments of criticism from my mother. She comes around to love again, you know, after some time. So I'm seeing that now. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. That was a big one for me. So thank you. Okay. Andrea wrote, what great conversations tonight. Andrea wrote that.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are there any more questions that would like to be asked?
Andrea.
Okay. So I was in the threshold of my sister's bedroom door last night. And when I looked in on her wall, she usually has two blue plates. And there's a picture of a flower in between. And I looked at that flower and I just thought, that's not what's supposed to be there. But I don't know what was supposed to be there. And I made a comment about the flower. And she says, well, that's been there for 2 years. And in some reality, I knew that it had been there for 2 years for a long time. But yet it looked completely different. The colors of it just really popped. But that wasn't what was supposed to be there. I guess I'm wondering if I'm like between dimensions or something. I don't know. I know this is an odd question, but and I really haven't asked a question yet. But can you give me any input on that?
Well, first of all, we would say if it's physically there, it is what's supposed to be there. But what you're saying is your perception was different at that time.
Yes.
And so there are a couple of ways to look at this. Mostly, we would say that you were in a your perception was different in that moment than it would normally be in your everyday 3D world.
Yes.
And so it surprised you. It caught you off guard. And it's not about the painting. It's about you. Or it's not about the flower. It's about you, that you were slightly shifted.
Ah, okay.
The painting wasn't, you were.
Yeah.
And that's why you perceived it slightly differently.
Okay.
Now, yeah, then you can ask yourself, what was different about me in that moment that brought about that difference in perception? And what was different about you in that moment? What brought you to the threshold?
Don't remember, but
were you sharing a conversation? Were you checking up? Were you?
Well, I think we were sharing a conversation. Or I was saying goodnight. I'm not sure.
And was your body hurting at that moment?
I don't remember, but it could have been.
Yeah, so more than anything else at this moment in time, we would say that it was your perception was different based on where you energetically, emotionally were.
Okay.
From an outside perspective, meaning sometimes these things are a little hard to describe in physical words. One moment. While you may have looked like you were doing a thing you would do every day, a predominant amount of your energy wasn't actually physically in your body.
Okay.
And that happens with people, and that's okay. But that created the perceptual shift.
Yeah.
The difference in the perceptual shift.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do get that at that moment something shifted. That's going to be a good investigation.
Right. And based on the message that was shared earlier, whenever anything like that happens, you could also ask yourself, am I receiving in a larger sensory field than just my traditional five senses? It could be a fun question to ask of yourself.
Yeah. Yes, because the colors of that picture were very much enhanced, like I had never seen them before. And even she saw that the colors were enhanced. Interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, let's take a moment here and offer to ourselves a moment of gratitude. For your awareness, your striving, your love, your care. The way you've grown. The way you're curious and continue to grow and stretch and evolve. And how does it feel to you to connect with gratitude for yourself. Be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. I had no idea what time it was. Well, that was fun and very different tonight, wasn't it?
That was a lot of channeling, Holly.
Yeah. I feel it. I'll be having a quiet evening. I don't usually like go right to bed after I do this. I have to come down off of it.
Wind down.
Yeah. And it's not that I'm wound up, but like I just, the energetic shift I feel it. I feel it. But, you know, I'm not where I used to be. As many of you have heard the story of where when I first started channeling, if I was going to channel for 20 minutes or something, the next day I had to be really quiet for the whole day, the day before, and not have anything significant scheduled the day after. It was serious, like for me, like, no, don't ask me a lot of questions. Or, you know, it was just like, I had to be very precious about it. And so I see how, you know, it's just, we grow because we do more of it, right? Yeah, I could not have done then what I do now. And, you know, I'd have to be like laid out in bed all day tomorrow. I won't be. Anyway, love to you all. Happiest of holidays. Happy New Year. And we'll see each other in the new year, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you, everyone.